Hello, friends from the internet, and welcome once more to Alili. Here we are again, one new week in one new topic. So just so that I can explain to you guys how I'm doing this podcast, it's like I'm doing a series of two episodes, and like these episodes will be related to each other in a sort of way, like even if it's a genre or a theme or an actor or something, there's gonna be some relation between each other. But yes, so welcome back, guys. So today, this week, we're gonna talk about my movie, one of my favorite movies that is really cool, about rock stars, and it's called The Dirt from Netflix. This movie is like a really criticized for many things. So I will talk to you about it a little bit, give you a little resume and all that stuff. But yeah, first of all, disclaimer, I do not agree with their behavior and the horrible unmoral things that the band did when they were like jumping into stardom. So to start talking about this movie, I will give you a quick resume of my own. I watched the movie recently so that you guys have an idea. Please be careful, it has a spoilers alert. I will talk about some stuff that happened on the movie, so if you haven't watched it, try to watch it. So, here we go. The movie starts with Frank Carlton Ferrana Jr., who is living with his abusive mother and the numerous partners of this one. One day, he decides to get away from her by calling the cops on an incident. After that, we go to see him grow up and change his name legally to Nikki Six. Then we go to Tommy's house, where we briefly met him and his family, completely different picture than Nikki's family. And he's leaving to watch a show of Nikki's band at the time with his girlfriend. They go to dinner, and then he finds Nikki sitting on a booth where Tommy joins him later, and that's how they started the idea of the band. We start seeing the band being created with the cool arrival of Mickey Mars and when they go search for Vince Neil at a pool party where he was performing. They start rehearsing together, find the name of the band, and start doing their first performances where not many people were liking their old school style at first. But after a fight drops, the fans get into the sound and we see the band rise in popularity. With more people coming to see their shows, we then see how they meet the Elektra Records worker, done by Pete Davidson. The band starts going on tour, and then we have the scene where Ozzy Osbourne snorts and eats ants from the floor. Afterwards, they started explaining to us how crazy the crew was compared to other rock bands and how difficult it was to manage them. We start seeing them being completely excessive in all points and treating people with no respect without any big consequences happening to them. We get a brief introduction of Russell, the ex-wife of Vince when she was a mud wrestler, and one of Tommy's girlfriends. After the intro of this character, we start getting the darkest side of Motley Crue. When Tommy hits his girlfriend in the face, Vince drives drunk while going in the search of some booze and has an accident where Russell dies. Vince gets sentenced to 30 days in jail, gets divorced, and then we see him get out of jail, totally broke mentally. Then we see how Nikki falls into addiction and loses himself, making his bandmates hate him. Nikki reaches rock bottom when it actually dies for a few minutes and then gets reanimated. After this traumatic event, Nikki decides that he and the band have to go clean, so they go to rehab. We start seeing them get back on track and having so much success in their careers, but also how their personal lives crumble down and tensions in the band start rising again. Because of this, Vince quits the band. They try to replace him, but everything drops. The fans don't like the new singer or their new songs and ask them to bring Vince back. We then go to see how Vince goes to the traumatic event of his daughter Skylar's death. Afterwards, the band know about Skylar and they go find Vince at a bar where they talk and they reconnect. Finally, the band is back together and we see them going into the stage one last time, reunited and all together. So, as you can imagine, this movie is really cool. It has funny moments, but it also has dark moments where we see them hitting rock bottom and everything. So now we're going to talk about why is it criticized. So this movie talks about Motley Crue, and Motley Crue is a rock band from the 80s. They start picturing it, how the band got together and everything. But like, you know, those bands were inspired on the 70s rock bands. You know that rock bands are always stereotypically depicted as abuse of substances and abuse of life in grand gesture, you know. So that's how we see this movie, how the integrants from this group got from like a normal teenage life to get like really rock stars in the bad sense of the word. So like we start seeing the dark side of Motley Crue in the movie, the abuse, the treating of people like they were nothing, especially how they talk about women and how they thought about women at the time. How a group of people can treat people like they were nothing, with no respect, no moral values, and they are not having any consequences about it. So that was rock and roll. And that's how like people that sometimes watch this movie, they're like thinking that this is a glamorized version of rock and roll. But I know that many rock movies or rock musicals or whatever, they are picturing this as glamorized rock and roll life. But the good thing that I think this movie has is that it shows us not only how they were really abusive in all those terms that I said before, but like also how they progress and have their own tensions and their own problems and the dark sides for each one of them, and how they were trying to get better, even if like now they are not really, really better, they are getting somewhere in a better place. We see how they went rock bottom in many times, even if in this movie there's not all the stuff is pictured here. There was worse things that the band did that is not on the movie, but they are trying to portray how they were actually and not like, oh, the glamorized version of rock and roll. And we have to be aware that like it was another era. It wasn't like the era of the rock and roll and the abuse of excesses in everything. And that's how they were like trying to portray themselves, because that's how they were like saying that that's a successful rock band. But like, yeah, the people from those times were less aware, less conscious of how to treat people right, and how we are like more conscious now about everything and how we should treat everyone. That's the big part why this movie is criticized, is because of the theme and the glamorization of the rock and roll bands. And I disagree, because this movie can be less harsh than it should be, like because their life was more horrible than what we are seeing, but still they chose to show hard parts and dark sides of themselves in this movie, and I applaud that. I'm not agreeing with their behaviors, but they are kind of like acknowledging that they did this wrong. They regret what they did, that they cannot change anymore, but like whatever they can change is going into the future and be better. Now let's talk about little things about the movie. So the movie was premiered in March 2019, but the weird thing is like the movie was in the works since 2003. This movie was based on the actual book from Motley Crue that is also called The Dirt. I think it was released in the 2000s. So this movie was like in the works since that book was released. So Paramount had the rights to create this movie at the time. Then it passed to Focus Features and nothing happened. Like it happened from years that this movie was just sitting there. And then it only happened until Netflix picked it up in 2017 that they started filming the movie and really like getting in the light. So the Motley Crue band were saying that after the movie, they got so much new fans. So I don't know if you have seen this, for example, on Drive to Survive or stuff like that, how these really well done Netflix docuseries or movies are like attracting new and young people to be fans of this sport or these things. So the same happened here with the movie. They attracted new young fans. They watched the movie. They never heard of Motley Crue before. And after the movie, they just jump into stardom again. And like, there were so many people there. So, because they got so many fans, they were planning on going on tour so that they can really like give them what they want, give the fans what they want, you know? They went on tour afterwards with Def Leppard and someone else. It was really insane how Motley Crue got back into the stardom. Also, because this band, after they finish doing their tours on 2015 and so on, I think like the last performance was on 2015. And afterwards, I don't know exactly why, but they had a contract that said if the band, Motley Crue, went on tour again together, they will be sued for millions of dollars. I don't know what happened in between. Maybe something with the record label could be. I think like at that point they just said, I cannot say the word, but like, duck it. We will go on tour. We will meet these young fans' desire to see us, and we will deal with this later. Last thing for the movie, just so you know, on Rotten Tomatoes is scored by the critics by 37%. So the critics didn't like this movie. They were really harsh on it. They said the movie was horrible. The filming of the movie was not great. They were really criticizing the director. Apparently, the director just did Jackass movies, and this was his first movie that wasn't a Jackass. Let me know down here in the comments if you think the movie was horrible, as the critic says, or if it was kind of okay or really well done. And the also really weird thing on the score in Rotten Tomatoes is that the audience score is 94%. So that means that the movie was really good for everyone else except the critics. So that's why you see I like it so much, and maybe you like it as well. But yeah, 94%, guys. And this is all for movie time. Now, let's talk about acting. So the acting on this movie, it's one of the greatest I have seen. They really have actors that really care about the characterization of these people and how to get them real, and how to, if we see them, we are like, oh, we are seeing the actual person. So the characters had dimension and personalities. Our actors in this movie are Colson Baker, as you know already, MGK. He portrays Tommy Lee, Ewan Rian, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, as Mickey Mars, Douglas Booth as Nikki Sixx, Daniel Weber as Vince Neil. So these actors were really devoted to get things right, and even the production of the movie were really involved on the fact of these actors have to play their parts really well. I was reading an interview with Douglas, and he said that he, for the movie, had met with Nikki Sixx, the bassist of the band, and shared that the man he met was completely different from the man he had to portray in the movie, because the Nikki that he was meeting was the old Nikki that's not young and like crazy as before, but it was more calm and kind. So like, he did change a lot. Nikki was a great person for Douglas to meet and to know how he was. He gave Douglas a lot of pinpoints and a lot of tutorials for knowing how to play the guitar right and how to play the bass right for the songs. Also, like the actor said that he was mimicking him and mimic his mannerisms and how he walked, how he talked, how he looked and everything, this way of this person. And he said he had really great material to work with because he had a lot of videos and he also sent the, well, Nikki sent the tutorials for him. So he could have like a lot to play on and see how he moved and how he was him, how Nikki was him, you know. Also, like as I said before, the production on Netflix provided the actors with musicians. So each actor had musicians go live with them for 2 weeks, and 2 weeks straight, they have every day practice with this musician so that they can teach him how to play the instrument that they were playing, how they should hold the guitar or the sticks for the battery. But yeah, these musicians were pinpointed to each actor 2 weeks. It was really good for them so that they can actually know how to play it. And then he told also in the interview that after the 2 weeks with the musician, they all traveled to New Orleans for band boot camp, I will say. For 4 weeks, they practiced 10 hours a day. And they were having like sessions where they were really practicing the songs all together as they were the band. And they had the input from Nikki and Tommy that they were going there and seeing them play and how do you hold this? Is it better to do this or do that? But they were really good at what they were doing. The actors were phenomenal on this. One thing that Douglas said also on the interview is that one of the hardest things to portray Nikki, it was when he was inebriated. The thing is, they were all having to be the person that they were portraying. So each actor had to play perfectly this group, this band was at the time. And the main thing that they have to nail was that Douglas, the main actor for Nikki Sixx, he had to really play well Nikki. If he just didn't nail it, the movie will not be successful and it will be completely different. So he said like the hardest thing was not portraying Nikki when he was on a concert or when he was okay outside having fun, but when he was inebriated was the hard part portray of Nikki, because as you see, like Nikki had some really dark times in the movie, well, not in the movie, but in his real life, and he had to portray those parts. And he said like it was so hard because I had to really dig up some dark times of himself, and he had to be like in a really a bad headspace to portray that right. But like at the end, all that paid off, because like even Nikki and Tommy said, dude, this is so weird. We are looking at ourselves singing and performing, because they were looking at these actors portraying themselves and they were like, oh my God, this is me. Like I'm looking at me and it's really weird, like out of body experience. And one of the best thing about this movie, the actors were killing it. Yeah. Now, let's talk about a little bit of the songs on the movie. So, this movie is about a rock band. So, if you haven't heard about Motley Crue, I suggest you go and pick some songs from the album and listen to it. They have really good songs. And I really like it because it's really, we will call old school rock, even if that term is not right. But yeah, so this movie had a soundtrack that had 18 songs, including new ones. The soundtrack was made with main songs from Motley Crue, but the band, during the filming of the movie, they created new songs because they were so inspired by that time, by the filming and everything, that they just got like 3 new songs. So the new songs are Ride with the Devil, Crash and Burn, and a cover of Madonna, Like a Virgin. And also, like, they did a single that is called The Dirt Est 1981 that features MGK. So if you like MGK, go listen to it. It's really cool. I will say, for me, my favorite songs from this soundtrack are Live Wire. If you see the movie, it's like the first song they play together. And it sounds so good. The guitar, my God. The guitar is insane. You know, like I'm a drum guitar person. Like when I hear it, I'm just like, oof, going into it. So when I heard the guitar on this song, I was like, wow, the voice of the singer with this guitar playing, it's insane. So Livewire, really recommended. And the other one that I really like is Kickstart My Heart, because also it's a really hard and fast song. I like the also the sounds that they do. I think like the sounds are not made like with voice, auto-tune or stuff like that, but more like with the guitar. So if you hear the song and wait till the end, and it's done by the guitar, it's really cool. So that's our songs, baby. And now for the final part, let's talk about some fun facts on the movie. So first of all, we have an improvised thing that happened while filming the movie. The part, if you see the movie, where Nikki, also Douglas, the actor, breaks a table during Tommy's wedding is like completely improvised. Apparently, the actor that was playing Nikki, he only needed to stand up, be a little bit wonky, look like inebriated, and walk with Tommy. And afterwards, we see like in the movie, he actually just stands up and kind of like tries to place his hand on the table, but the table was a glass table and he broke it. That was actually the actor that unintentionally broke it, and it was really funny to see. And second fun fact is about MGK. So if you know about Machine Gun Kelly, that probably for now you know, he is covering tattoos, right, of himself, so, you know, so like has a big MGK on his chest and all this stuff. But for the movie, because he was portraying Tommy Lee, he had to be covered on body paint makeup to cover all his tattoos. So cover all of them. Then afterwards, because Tommy Lee has tattoos of himself, they have to put the tattoos exactly in the same place that Tommy Lee has them. The exact same tattoos that Tommy Lee has in MGK. He's a really heavily tattooed dude. So I cannot imagine the time it took just to paint his body. Third fun fact, the actors actually learn how to play the songs of Motley Crue. They learn properly how to play the song with the instrument, with the guitar, with everything. And they really play the songs to make them while performing, you know, while filming. So that's amazing to know. Four and final fun fact. If you see it on the movie, you will see that the name of the band, it was proposed by Big Mars. At the beginning, Motley Crue, well, Nikki was thinking, oh, we should call the band Christmas, like X-Max. But no one liked it. And Big Mars said, that's horrible. Let's not do that. But actually, Big Mars proposed the name of the band. The story is that Big Mars was with another band so long ago that was called White Horse. And someone from, I mean, imagine the audience, was calling, well, isn't this a motley looking crew? They call them like that. Big Mars just like retained Motley Crue in his mind. And then he was saying like, oh, that would be a cool name someday when I find a great band. And that's how Motley Crue was born. Like the idea of Motley Crue. The name, not the band. And well, guys, that is all for this week. Hope you liked the episode. Hope you go see The Dirt on Netflix. If you have Netflix, you just have to press play. Just press play. And that's it. But yeah, let me know what you think about the movie, if you like it. If you don't like it, also let me know. We are open here. We don't care if you agree with me or not. I'm portraying my opinion, as I said. And you can agree or not agree. That's totally up to you guys. Be yourselves. Yeah, that's pretty much it for this week. Hope you like it. Subscribe, follow, comment. Give me some valoration of those little stars, if you like, please. And yeah, see you next week with some other series. So hopefully you are ready for this.
Yep. Bye, friends.